This is the Kid Carson Show on the Beat 94.5.
Okay, let's lower that divorce rate, shall we?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
We try to do one good deed every day, and today's deed is to lower the divorce rate.
That's right.
In this city.
Yeah.
We can do it. It's 8:46, Kid Carson Show. I'm Kid Carson, along with Jasmina, Mandy, and Andrew the intern. And we're joined in studio by two special guests. Why do I always start by saying special guest?
Like, well, because you know, every guest we have is special.
Yeah. Some people could take that as an insult. Will you call me special?
No, come on.
We have in studio with us. Now, we practice pronouncing his name off the air. We're
going
to try to get it right here. Lawrence Stoyanowski.
Very good.
Is that good? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Lawrence and Darren Wilk.
You got it.
And you guys are Vancouver guys. In your bio, it says, you know, we're two regular guys. We love the Vancouver Canucks and our wives. And you guys work together as marriage counselors? Is that how it works?
Yeah, not in the same time. We have separate offices, but we do work. We run a company together called Best Marriages. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so how long have you guys been doing this for?
I've been a marriage therapist for 20 years now.
20 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
I've been doing it for about 10. I was in addictions before.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's very similar to marriages.
Well, yeah, really. So you say there are four types of communications or four types of, I guess, ways of speaking to each other that actually will lead you down the road to divorce. And in fact, if you are speaking to each other in one of these four different ways, that apparently your chance of divorce is up to 94%.
That's right.
That's fascinating. When Jasmina brought this in, I was like, oh, we got to have these guys on. Apparently, what's the connection here? You, Jasmina, had a friend who
had a friend. Her and her husband took your guys' course. It was probably maybe 3 years ago. Okay. But she couldn't say enough great things about it. And it really opened her eyes to just communication and how they weren't really communicating that well. And how by going to your two-day workshop, yeah, I guess, that she really learned how to communicate with her husband. So there are a couple of toxic things, like Kid was mentioning. What can we go into some of those?
Sure, those would be great. There's four main ones. One of them is criticism, right?
And, that's right. And the other one is defensiveness, and then there's contempt, and the last one is stonewalling.
Oh.
And when Dr. John Gottman, who did a lot of the research on this, when he was doing his research, he's the one that found out when these couples have these four, we call them the four horsemen of the marital apocalypse, because it causes devastation to the relationship, or we call them el destructo. And when those go unabated or unfixed in the relationship, there's a 94% chance that the relationship's going to end.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that, like, a lot of people think that fighting or anger or, you know, getting into lots of conflict is bad, but really it's only when you use those four things. You know, like when you're trying to label the person as you jerk or you're lazy or whatever, that's criticism. That's where you get into trouble. You don't own your own issue. You kind of put it on the other person. It's like you say, you're the problem, not me. Mm-hmm, I'm pretty much perfect. It's you that's all the problems, right?
And I would imagine that if you're listening to that as the other person, then you get defensive, and that's another one, right?
Yeah, defensiveness. And most of the time, it's men that are more defensive than women. So they're either are an innocent victim. They kind of whine and say, oh, you know, I tried. I took out the garbage last week. Or, you know, or they're like, you know, I can't believe you're bringing that up. You know, like the righteous indignation. So that's the type of defensiveness you often see.
Why is it that men get more defensive than women? Do you guys know what would be?
I know why I am. I mean, I hate failure. I mean, like, men want to be right. They like to be in control, and it's just part of our upbringing, I think. So
is it the ego?
Yeah, I think so.
We kind of feel like when we're knocked off the pedestal a little bit, it hurts more.
Yeah, I'm defensive even before my wife even attacks me. I'm defensive before she just says I've got a complaint. It says I didn't do it. I didn't.
Yeah, right.
That's wild. So being defensive. Sorry, the first one is to like kind of attack.
Criticism.
Then being defensive.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
Contempt, which is basically finding that you're more superior than another person. It could be like I'm a better driver. Let me drive. Or, you know, I'm better with the kids. Let me discipline them. Or it's a sense of feeling superior or better than the other person. It comes with eye rolling and often a kind of the mouth will go up a little bit, sort of a contemptuous look, you know.
Yeah. Like
my wife does it well, but.
Right. Or like a.
Yeah, that totally. Way? Eye roll,
yeah,
you bet.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
Oh, God. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, what would be the fourth one?
The fourth one is stonewalling. And that's mostly it's men who are stonewallers. And they tend to just shut down. They leave the room without leaving the room, basically. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're being attacked, so okay. They just don't want to be there. And basically what we teach them is it's really important to go and take a break. Go and take a break and self-soothe and calm down, and then come back and finish the conversation then.
Some women don't like it, though, when a man wants to leave and go into his man cave for a few minutes. You know, like,
we like to just keep harping and harping.
Chase him down. I'm not done yet.
So how can you kind of explain, I mean, how do you, I bring this up because I recently had this. I had a little bit of a tiff a couple weeks ago with my girlfriend about something, and I just wanted to kind of leave the room for a couple minutes and, like, you know, gather my thoughts and come back. And then when I did that, she was even more upset because in her world, it was like, oh, well, every time if we're in a debating about something, you leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And to her, that was not a cool thing.
Yeah.
Kind of made things worse. How do you try to
get that? Well, a lot of times, the problem is a lot of guys leave, but they don't say they're coming back. Like, they just kind of leave, and they never get back into the discussion because, you know, they hate conflict. They don't want to fight. Like, when a man's stonewalling inside his head, he's going like, oh, I can't believe she remembers that. I mean, I could say something, but I won't. Just going to get worse. Don't say anything. Just shut up. The Canucks game starts in 10 minutes. You know, she can't touch me then.
Right. You know. Interesting. So if you're using one of these four types of, I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, what's the right way to fight then?
Well, there's a number of antidotes. And the antidote to criticism is learning how to complain without suggesting that your partner's defective.
Okay.
So we say use a softened startup, and there's three steps to a softened startup. There's I feel, about what, and I need. Okay. And you do those very quickly. And most conversations, you can 30 seconds or a minute, and you're done with it if you do it properly. But when we don't do it properly, you can get into a three-hour fight.
Oh, it can be a weekend-long fight.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I've ever had one of those before.
And it's all in how your partner also takes that information and processes it as well, I guess, right?
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? It used to be always that you hear about this active listening, and the listener needs to be able to hear any complaint and be able to, you know, says, you're a jerk. Oh, so what you're saying is I'm a jerk, and I don't do anything around the house. The speaker's job is to actually frame it in a way that can be heard. So a lot of times the focus was on the listener, but it actually needs to be more on the speaker. When the speaker does their job, they can usually give a complaint, and it gets heard. Mm-hmm. It softens the other person's ears, right?
Right. So. Hmm. And it's easier than just to try and guess and figure out what your partner's saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get that for sure.
Now, in your expert opinions, who is usually to blame more, the man or the woman?
Oh, please.
We have to say the men because we're men.
Really?
That's the smart answer.
That's the smart answer, right?
I like it.
Right? When mom is happy, everyone's happy. Right?
Well, that's right. Happy wife, happy life.
I think ladies or women are better at relationships than guys are. Guys... Oh. You know, we don't do a lot of talking growing up. You know, you're out in a soccer field in elementary school, or every recess you're kicking the ball, you're shooting baskets. You talk a little bit, like, good shot. But girls at recess, they're sitting there talking.
Totally.
So they've got 12 years on us of talking. You know, so they're way better.
Even women, they'll spend like sometimes an hour a day or 2 hours a day talking to one of their favorite girlfriends on the phone.
While
multitasking, you know, while they're doing maybe something around the house or working on their computer, they'll be on the phone. Yeah. Where men aren't as multitask, when we're focused on one thing at a time. And I tend to have most of my, you know, connecting conversations with my close buddies face to face and not over the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a common thing with most guys. But.
And I need to have an excuse. I just can't call up my friend and say, hey, do you want to talk? It has to be a Canucks game or do you want to shoot some baskets or whatever. We have to be doing something, golf, whatever.
While we
then
talk.
Then we can talk. Yes.
Yeah, just the straight talking is maybe too much pressure.
Like, so what's going on?
Isn't that wild, eh?
Yeah.
So you guys do these kind of weekends where couples get together. And what do you find is the most common issue that are facing couples now? I mean, you're saying a 94% divorce rate by using these techniques. Is there any indication you guys have of what is causing these this bad type of fighting?
Well, most people just haven't learned how to communicate properly.
So it could be over any issue. It's just how they talk about
any
it.
Issue.
It's how they
we
talk.
Have
yeah.
a lot of stupid arguments. We call them stupid arguments, right?
Yeah.
And most people say, that's exactly right. We can't remember half the time what started them. Mm-hmm. But what really comes into play here is how important it is to accept our partner. And we call it the relationship paradox. And we kind of say this to each other without saying it, and that is, I love you, accept you for who you are, but for the love of all, please change. And that's but unless we make each other feel more or less accepted for who we are, change will never occur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of paradoxical.
Wow. Yeah, because we're always saying accept the other person, but really it seems like we don't want to.
Yeah, and, right. And the new thing is just to not feel that every problem is fixable, because it's not.
Right.
You have to just learn to say, okay, you know what? These things are, I just married you, and I've learned to tolerate this, tolerate that. And, you just get used to each other, almost like you do a bad back or you know, a stomach issue kind of thing.
Yeah, just get used to the stomach issue.
Yeah.
And we all have our own issues, too, that the other person is dealing with that we may not even realize that we have a habit maybe that is annoying that they're living with.
Yeah.
With us. I mean, we both do, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. So you get couples together.
Yeah.
You guys have another course coming up in a couple of
weeks. This weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
This weekend. So it's
down in Vancouver. Yeah.
Right. On at the Holiday Inn and Suites, Howe and Helmkin. And your workshop's called The Art and Science of Love. So you guys do it a couple times a year?
We do it 3 to 4 times a year.
Three to four times a year. Okay. Awesome.
We have one coming up in May as well.
And you know what? For $375 per couple, it seems pretty inexpensive compared to what it costs to go through a divorce. $375.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Yeah.
So would you say this is for people who, if you're, things are starting to get rocky, or what if you're on the cusp of we just cannot handle each other anymore? Is this still a course?
It's still good. Yeah.
It's
funny. People come from like just wanting to just tune up. And now the couples come because, like, you know, this thing better work or we're done.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of pressure on us.
Yeah.
But
it's
surprising how many say, you know, that was the we haven't talked like this nicely and gently for our entire relationship on any sensitive topic. It doesn't go well. So we want couples to have success in talking about those sensitive topics. So,
wow. This is great.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet your website. If you're driving and you can remember this. bestmarriages.com is the website to check out Lawrence and Darren. Bestmarriages.com. Again, I'll tweet that, and you can, if you can't drive and write at the same time.
Right.
A little hazardous.
A little bit. And that'll have all the information about the upcoming workshop as well, right?
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah,
I really appreciate
you
coming in. And it could be life-changing. It's so it's so simple what you're saying. You know, you're not even saying it's these certain issues. It's just how we talk about these issues. So, awesome.
Good point.
Great to meet you guys.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Thanks,
and again, check our Twitter feeds at thebeat.com to find the website and read up on it for yourself. Get in there this weekend.
Yeah.